It isn't very often that I finish something, whether it's a TV series or a movie, and I feel so affected by it that I almost feel physically affected, that I have to sort of walk around, maybe even drink a glass of whiskey, to get it off my mind or deal with it. Watching the last few episodes of Sharp Objects did that to me today. Welcome to Art House Radio. This is episode 153. I am your host, Troy Ramos. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad to have you here. This is the second of two parts on my review or thoughts on Sharp Objects, the HBO series starring Amy Adams, Patricia Clarkson, who's so good. They're both so good. Chris Messina and Eliza Scanlon. It's based on a novel by Gillian Floyd, who also wrote Gone Girl, which I haven't seen. I try not to see too many Ben Affleck movies. I'm sorry, I know that I'm not saying you're bad, Ben, if you're listening. I loved you in the movie with Matt Damon, where he's Them Apples, Robin Williams is the therapist. Oh, I love that movie. Anyway, I don't want to digress here. But this movie is fantastic and terrifying. At the same time, it's a horror movie. That's what it is. It's a horror movie disguised as a very well-crafted HBO series. You should know that going in. You should also know that there are spoilers in this episode. It's interesting because you feel like you're moving towards some sort of series that could maybe even have a second season, or that you're seeing some sort of love story that comes from the depths and everything is okay in the end. But what you get instead is an earth-shaking, nothing is going to be all right feeling. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a bad thing, of course, but it's a brilliant twist at the end. It's a wonderful story in terms of the writing, but it's fucked up, man. So messed up. There are some dark issues in this, obviously. Like, you know, Amy Adams' character is a journalist. She's a complete drunk. She sleeps with her sources. Her editor sends her from St. Louis to this small town to investigate a serial killer who's killing young girls. And she doesn't have a good relationship with her mother or her family. Turns out her mother has Munchausen syndrome and she had poisoned her daughter and killed her, and then she ends up trying to do that to Camille, played by Amy Adams, and her sister. And her sister in this film is the one who's actually the serial killer. So at the end, you see a 14-year-old girl who's strangling other 14-year-old girls in front of her twisted friends as they laugh, and she has this look on her face of sexual gratification almost. That's, you don't come back from that. Even as an observer, it's fiction, but it's stuck with me. I had to drink Jameson today to get that out of my mind, and it's still in there, and it didn't work, clearly. So, here's my question. Is it possible that we're manifesting some terrible evil, like child serial killers, and I don't mean children who are killed by serial killers, but I mean children who enjoy killing others, or terrible things like that. Are we manifesting this through entertainment? Or is this just a reflection of who we are? Because it feels to me like we are scraping the bottom of the barrel here for entertainment. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to give the impression that this isn't a good show. It's a great show. It's fantastic. I'm never going to watch it again. But it's terrible in terms of the fact that it's a horror movie and the twist is so scary. It's scary what happens in this show. And you want to root for Amy Adams' character. You want to root for her being in love with Chris Messina's character. But you realize at the end of it that this is about how uncertain our world is, and not uncertain in the Gary John Bishop way, uncertain in the really bad way, that people have this darker aspect to them that you just cannot explain. So I read a review where they talked about how it was inherent, this murder aspect, but not inherent, but inherited. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, I guess it's possible the mother killed the daughter with the poison her whole life, like in The Sixth Sense. So I guess it's passed on, but Amy Adams' character doesn't seem to have it, and the dad is just some fucking weirdo, like, just not a weirdo in the sense of if you looked at him, you would think he was a Republican put together or some sort of very together upper echelon Democrat, and who must have been part of this. And beyond this, there's also the twisted thing about the editor, who treats Amy Adams' character like he's her father and is very loving and caring and all that. But did he send her into this battle zone for a story? Is that what happened there? Because it feels like that's what happened in some ways. And by the end, Amy Adams writes up before we find out the shocking revelation that it was the teenage daughter who had been killing all these girls and pulling their teeth out and enjoying it. We feel like we have resolution, and Amy Adams sort of sums up everything with a beautiful article, and he reads it out loud, most like a narrator, most of it. And it's beautiful, and you get the sense of like, okay, maybe everything's going to be okay. And then it's like Nightmare on Elm Street 1 or 2, when Freddy bursts through the door, she's standing in front of the door having the dream. She's like, oh, isn't that great, now we were so close to getting murdered by Freddy Krueger, and then his arm pops through the door and pulls her in. That's what you get for thinking that everything was going to be okay. I don't know if we're manifesting anything. I don't know if it's a reflection, but the fact that humans are able to come up with something like this, it's impressive and scary, sort of like AI or the Hadron Collider. I don't really know what's going to happen to us, I have to say, after watching something like this. I'm disturbed and maybe not hopeful, but not in a depressing way, just in a kind of shocked way that people can come up with something like this. I mean, it's just the fact that you had a young girl like Eliza Scanlon actually shoot film for the couple of clips at the end of the series when the credits are rolling, have her shoot a couple of clips of her strangling someone with a rope, and having that satisfaction and anger on her face. I feel like I saw a car wreck that I wasn't supposed to see in my life. I feel like I'm never going to get that out of my mind. And, that's... So I don't know what to give it out of 10 stars. I guess I'll give it an 8, but I'm never going to watch it again. It's so well done, but it's clearly disturbing. It's going to take a long time to get this out of my head. What did you think? Did you see it at Arthouse 43 everywhere? That's Arthouse 43. And you can go to arthouse43.com and click on support if you want to make a donation to the show. Or contact and send me something. I'd love to read it. That doesn't mean I'll read it on the air. I won't do that unless you give me permission. Please write to me. Let me know what you think. I want to know. Well, I know I'm late to the game, but that's how I like to do things. I don't like to watch things as they're happening, because there's too many commercials and you have to go through the talk shows and everything and everybody's opining, and I just like to binge it and get it all out of the way. That's how most people do it, I think. Okay, just one bit of news here. Filmstruck looks like they're done. They are closing down at the end of this month, which, you know, Godspeed, little doodle. You did your best, but your best wasn't good enough, and so you're gone. And, you know, it's sad because that's the Criterion Collection, and I don't know what we'll do until the Criterion Collection launches their own streaming service, which is also major news, and they said they'll be launching it simultaneously in the U.S. and Canada. That's what they say. That's the goal in spring, May of 2019. Can you believe that? And can you also believe it's 2019 soon? Oh, my God, that's terrible. All right, friends, at ArtHouse43, ArtHouse43.com, follow us everywhere, interact with us, let's talk, let's chit-chat, let's socialize together, let's find each other, let's lift each other up, and let's also have a great holiday season. From the coldest place in the world, Detroit, Michigan, I'm signing off now. I wish you the snuggliest and warmest evenings or days, wherever you're at, and I hope that you have everything that you want and that you get all your wishes for the day to come true. All right, until next episode, friends, I will see you then. Goodbye for now.